Hi, I flick a day now. It's me, Alan Smith, with wee Puckley series of today's Press and Journal on Friday, February the 9th. So, another week bites a bullet, and this will be the last Dora Kicks Fest for this week, and God willing, we'll be back on Monday. Anyway, front page paper today is a new cycle lane will run the hail length of the Granite Mile. So, councillors have backed plans to create a new bike lane running the full length of the Aberdeen's Granite Mile. The controversial scheme, part of a £100 million roads overhaul, already has the backing of the City's Cycle Forum. Well, of course they would, which described it as a step in the right direction. It will involve adding two new stretches of cycle lane at either end of the already agreed route between Union Street Junction with Market Street and Bridge Street. The idea is that bike users will have a safe space to travel in all the way from the Holborn Junction to the Castlegate. Aberdeen Cycling Forum Chairman Gavin Clark said it was fatalities among cyclists that led to our formation 20 years ago. Safe places to cycle, segregated for traffic, and that are appealing to a wide range of potential cyclists are still relatively hard to find. Meanwhile, the local authorities administration has come under fresh fire for refusing to fully pedestrianise Central Union Street. So, oh God, this is the ongoing thing now. We, the council and, you know, this folk are sweating buses down here and bikes. I mean, I can understand the, you know, it would be a rare thing if you're a biker to going from Holborn Street right down to Castlegate and right down Union Street on your bike. But, you know, it would be, I can't find a good gang actually, to be honest with you, heading around about up Union Terrace and along the front of the theatre and then down and up Belmont Street or something to get back onto Union Street. But a bit of a long detour. But, you know, I think it would be a rare thing if it was pedestrianised that bit. But, you know, I'm that's only my opinion. And obviously I'm a cyclist and haven't been for about 50 years, I suppose. So, anywho, that's the plans for Aberdeen. So, if you're coming back to visit Aberdeen anytime soon and you're needing to bike, take your hat with you and you'll get crunking up and down Union Street to your heart's content. Now, here's an initiative. It was launched to help pupils access sports and boost their health. So, a new partnership to boost pupils' participation in sport and physical activity was launched at Aberdeen Sports Village yesterday. The home of community sport project will offer better access to sport for pupils in the north of the city and promote the benefits of healthy and active lifestyles. Supported and funded by Wood, Aberdeen University and Aberdeen Sports Village, based at the village and working with schools, the home of community sport folk will enhance opportunities for sport and physical activity for kids by removing some of the barriers to participation as the cost of living crisis impacts communities. Schools taking part include St. Machar Academy and Kitty Brewster, Woodside, Sunnybank, Seaton, St. Peter's, Cornhill and Riverbank Primary. So, there's going to be a lot of tackles flying in here, I can just see that now. The community sport folk will provide pupils with access to the sports village's high quality facilities during the school year and feature a variety of sports. It will cost £3.60 a week per child. A Sports Village spokesperson said Hunters will benefit in activities including swimming lessons, athletics and racket sports. This initiative also provides valuable coaching opportunities for students from North East Scotland College. Martin Simonite, Senior Vice President for UK Operation at Wood, said, "We are delighted to collaborate with the University of Aberdeen and the Aberdeen Sports Village on this project." Gillian Kerr, the University Sport and Active Health Officer, said it was delighted to work alongside Wood and the Sports Village on this unique project. So, my God, what a job it is to get them, you know, kids out to do something new, just to play outside. Just unreal. You know, things has changed so much in there, you know. I mean, we was never inside. We was just outside the hail day, kicking a bar against the wall. The hail day. So that's why I rose up the ranks to become play off with our fans, you know, practice. Now here is a possum parties for dogs and their owners. So parties for dogs and their owners are coming to the north and northeast next month. The events for cockapoos, dachshunds and spaniels will be held in Aberdeen, Inverness and Huntly. Organisers, possum parties say it's a great opportunity for dogs and humans to socialise in a secure off-lead environment. In addition to 1 hour of off-lead play time, dogs will enjoy unlimited treats. Chicken. Well, Ozzy's sitting in the room beside me. I see his logs cocking up when I say that now. And delicious puppuccinos. If they were at this, anyway, some kind of drink for doggies. So later on in while, there will also be dog-related stalls, ball pits, tunnels, toys and props to play with. A prize will be given for the best dressed dog, while a photographer will capture the best moments. In Aberdeen, on Saturday, March the 16th, there will be 3 parties at the Hog Home Farm Stables. The cockapoo party will take place between 9:30 and 10:30, followed by dachshunds from noon till 1, and then spaniels between 1:30 to 2:30. At Pause and Play Adventure Park in Inverness on Sunday, March the 17th, dachshunds can party between 1:30 to 2:30, followed by cockapoos for 3 to 4, and then spaniels for 4:30 to 5:30. And then a dog party for cockapoos will also take place at Huntley's Purity Paws Pooch Dog Park on Sunday, March the 16th, from 9 till 10. Tickets for dogs are £12, with humans going free, and can be booked in advance online at tickettailor.com. So, well, if you're a doggy person and you're near Aberdeen, Inverness or Huntley, you can get along if you have one of that doggies for cockapoos, dachshunds or spaniels or kind of beasties. So, well, Ozzy is actually a labradoodle, so I think he's ruled out anyway. So, endless treats for you, Ozzy, I'm afraid, but you know, maybe somebody will organise in for doodly dogs. Now, here is first national test that looks at impact of peels and plastics on our river. So, environmental scientists at the Aberdeen-based James Hutton Institute have launched the first national drug and microplastics test on Scotland's rivers. The Scottish Government-funded study is testing for chemicals, from pesticides to antidepressants, to find areas needing closer monitoring. The study is initially focused on the River Dee and River Ugee in Aberdeenshire, taking in urban and rural settings respectively, before spreading out across Scotland in 2 years. Research scientist Dr. Jessica Gomez Banderas said, probably somebody from Huntley, anyway, she says there's concern about the increasing mix of pharmaceuticals, household chemicals and microplastics going into our rivers and the impacts these could have for impacting animal reproductive systems to spreading disease and resistance in the environment. But we don't care enough about how much of these contaminants are going into our rivers at a national and catchment scale. They come from a variety of sources from us through wastewater, farming and other activities, while climate change could exacerbate the effects they have. By creating a national baseline, we'll have a valuable data set helping point to the contamination and rivers that might need more scrutiny and help predict the impact of things like climate or land use change. Oh, mighty. They are testing for 42 common drugs that pass through humans into the sewage treatment process or from farm animals on the land, 16 pesticides and 6 common household chemicals that disrupt hormones. So, jeepers, creepers, all the hell they were cut out anyway. You know, that'll be a thing for folk from Ballater otherwise doing to through a bine and a bunkery and to Aberdeen. I mean, it's a fair old stretch to check for a River Dee, but yes, I mean, you know, for now, I said it done, it'd be a good thing to can just to see exactly if it's being chucked anywhere, if it's ending up in the water. Dievs iets neiegribējā boni sait finu findu ahai, bet yeah, well done to them for getting us on the go and you know, finding out for folks chucking in there, chucking about and ending up in the water. Like as I say, it's a there's a in a guy's state, and you know, the fishing lads, as I say, there's not nearly the fish that used to be. Things is getting pretty desperate, I think. So, yeah, good on this folk for, as I say, putting a line in the sand and working for that after that. Now, there is a 70% rise in deaths of patients before reaching hospital. So, more than 12,000 Scots died before reaching hospital by ambulance in 2023. A 70% rise in 4 years, Scottish Labour has revealed. Party leader Anna Sarwar said this statistic, obtained using freedom of information legislation, shows the real-world consequence of SNP incompetence. The figure increased from more than 7,000 in 2019. It emerged in the wake of the resignation of Health Secretary Michael Matheson over his £11,000 iPad Roman charges bill. Mr. Sarwar said the resignation will make the headlines, but the crisis in our NHS has been 17 years in the making. Speaking at First Minister's questions yesterday, Mr. Sarwar said many of those folk may have survived if an ambulance could have reached them sooner, or they could have been admitted to hospital more quickly. That is a real-world consequence of SNP incompetence and a failure to get to grips with the crisis in our NHS. So, well, he's fairly getting his teeth into the new health folk and under either Ali and obviously Mr. Youssef being all health sisters, you know. So, nobody really escaped yet, but it isn't a great statistic. And you know, I'm hoping if I have to be seen at the hospital in the ambulance, that the folk in the ambulance are able to, you know, scoot through in some back roads and get me there a bit smartest. But, well, your time's up, but it's near, you know, if once you're in an ambulance, you would hope you'd get to the hospital to get saved, you know, nae concrete before you get to the hospital, that is nae great of a. Now, just finish up with sport as normal, and just inside the back page, there's a bit about the Scots Lairn opponents for debut in top tier of the Nations League. So this is Scotland boss Steve Clark said his side had been drawn with three fantastic opponents in the Nations League top tier. Having won Group B1 to gain promotion to the in the previous edition, Clark's men are set to face Croatia, Portugal and Poland in Group A1 this time around. The Scots, ranked at 36th in the world, are 5 places below Poland in the FIFA rankings, while 2023 runners-up Croatia and Portugal are 10th and 7th respectively. Thursday's draw in Paris sets up Scotland potentially facing Luka Modric, Cristiano Ronaldo and Robert Lewandowski. So, you know, Clark just says, well, it's going to be a tricky group, but, you know, we'll get, I think we've got in fast to say, we'll kind of spring a few surprises. But, I mean, you know, Lewandowski, Modric and Ronaldo, combined age, mere than 100, I would say. And surely we can, young lads can round rungs, running with them lot. So, come on, Scotland. Dean is proud so far. You never know if we win some of these games, maybe even the manager will crack a smile. No, that's me done for today. Now it's a wee puckly stories of today's paper on Friday, 9th of February 2024. So just another day. Grey, dark skies, rain piddling on and off day, and it's absolutely lashing just now, just about back of five, and it's just hail water again. So tremendous. Hopefully, you know, we want to be short for a while after a wee while, but I'll guarantee you come June or July time, we'll be screaming for the stuff. So anyway, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. New, hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please make sure and tell somebody else about it. And the best thing to do, tell them is follow us on Spotify, Doric Express. You'll never miss an episode, and you can listen to you know, a lifetime's worth of HAL episodes, really. So, yes, all being well, we'll be back on Monday, and everybody enjoy your weekend. Have a dandy old time, especially you, Ashley and Barnaby, for traded in, you know, sunny Hado a couple of weeks ago for sunny Portugal this weekend. So the sun just seems to follow you in the boots. So enjoy yourselves when you're about celebrating another birthday. So if you can manage to tell some folk about the Doric Express, that'd just be dandy. In the meantime, thanks very much. Cheers now. Toodaloo.